evolution and consciousness. And personally, I'm very optimistic. I think that if you go back 1,000 years, 2,000 years, we all know that in tribal cultures around the world, there were shamans and so on who had these extraordinary powers of entering altered states of awareness. The plain fact to me is that now these are things that we're all capable of. Shamanism was an inherently closed activity, and it was kept secret by its practitioners and passed on to the next group of trainees and so on. But I think in the information age, this information is definitely going to get out, and I feel quite confident that within the next 5 or 10 years, essentially the situation will exist where all of us can be visionaries. The techniques of altering consciousness and enhancing spiritual life are widely available now and widely publicized, and I feel more and more people are taking advantage of that. I feel very optimistic.
And I'm looking for, in these days and weeks and months and years ahead, people of substance, people of power, people with great articulation skills, people who have the ability to confront the issues and formulate visions and announce and declare them, who can be very powerful in their presentations, but who can stick to the highest thoughts we all hold in common. I'm speaking, I guess, of people who are spiritually based, who are coming from a place of high consciousness, and who can step forward in the public arena and provide the kind of vision that we all need. And it's going to be difficult for people to do that, because generally the people I'm describing are people who would be, as you pointed out, Raymond, attacked, crucified by the media, and they would have apparently much to lose if you look at it from one point of view. And yet it is true that of those to whom much is given, much is asked.
Let me step in here for a moment and try and summarize and say that it seems to me that book one and two of Conversations with God and many other books and things that people are saying, like Marianne and Raymond, and many others over the last two decades, or even three decades, as it were, are challenging each of us to bring our spirituality into the world. That's what I hear you, all three of you, saying in these last few minutes about that what's important is not to keep it in a closet anymore, but recognizing that the spirit is already present and is out there, that we need to, each of us in our own way, is to make the spirit visible in our own lives and make it visible in everyone else's life. Because if it's not visible in our lives, it can't be visible to anyone else.
And that's the bottom line message of book two, Michael.
Absolutely. And I must confess, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I had what I call a couch potato model of spirituality. That was something you watched in other people as and heard other people's fantastic experiences and so on. I think naturally, as we get into midlife, and tens of millions of people in the United States are now the baby boomers, there's a natural opening of spirituality. And I think our society is in a uniquely privileged position to be able to take advantage of that.
I think that there's a psychological syndrome out there. I really care, therefore I don't have to do anything. And I think that that's what we have to address now. We are beginning to see, at first the change was from I'm not in touch with what my heart feels, too. We must be in touch with what our heart feels. And now the next, it seems to me, big step is that we have to go from knowing what our heart is saying to doing what our heart is telling us to do. And I think, as Neil said, that's when you really get the wheat and the chaff. The big issue is not whether or not you're in touch with your heart. The real issue is to deal with the personal risk involved in dealing with the character assassination, the public humiliation, invalidation that both of you were referring to, that comes about if we really stand up.
We're talking here about practical spirituality.
Yeah. Earlier in the conversation, I don't know if both of you were talking, I think Raymond said something about this idea that miracles happened before and don't happen now, and that we have to counter that. I think it's not only that God has not stopped being in process, but much like you're talking about, not only are miracles not over, prophecy is not over. And I think that there is a new prophetic voice seeking to emerge in the world today. I don't think it's a soloist. I think it's a choir. But it's time for everybody to really sing our notes and really sing our songs. Because otherwise, what will happen is what happened in the 60s. If it's personality-based rather than principle-based, then the old order can just kill one, two, or three leaders, and the whole impulse is stymied for a few decades.
Yes.
But if it's enough of a choir rather than just amazing soloists, then they're, you know, just getting rid of a few soloists won't stymie it anyway.
Bravo, bravo. Well said.
I'd like to say on behalf of Neil and Raymond and myself that we hope that some of the ideas that we have discussed here have opened places in your mind or awakened or resonated with thoughts that you were already thinking or that you were on the verge of thinking. And our hope is that these thoughts will serve you in opening yourself to higher modes of not only thinking, but being and walking this world in such a way as to join with all the millions of others who are desiring, as we so desire, to make this world a better place.
If we do that, if we allow these moments to be the defining moments of our life and of what we are co-creating on this planet, then these days and times and everything we do in them, every thought, every word, every action we take, will truly be a magnificent conversation with God.